Hey, church family, glad to be with you this morning. I am here this morning with Robert. I'm not by myself, but I'm missing you guys. I'm looking at a bunch of empty pews, but I look forward to the day that we get to come back together as a church family. But until then, we can gather together in this way in spirit, and I'm so thankful for that. So thankful that Robert is going to lead us in worship here in just a few moments. And I see people logging in now as we're getting started, and it's so encouraging. I'm just so thankful that we can be together this morning. So before we get to worship, I just want to mention a few things and encourage us to continue being the church, even though circumstances have changed and things are so different. We've never experienced something like this before that we can relate it to. But I want to encourage us that even though times have changed, circumstances have changed, the church still needs to be the church, okay? So I want to encourage everybody out there, if you need help in any way and the church can serve you, if I can serve you in any way, please get in contact with us. If you don't want to go out and you need help getting groceries, I'll go get groceries for you. If you got something at your house that you're unable to do, if it's changing light bulbs or anything, now it can't be too complicated because Kristen's a little handier around the house than I am, so I'm going to have to send Kristen over there to help you. But if it's changing light bulbs or something like that, I'd be glad to come do that for you. If there's any way we can serve you, we want to do that. I also want to encourage church family, check on each other during this time. Listen, we're isolated, but we don't have to be isolated from each other because of Facebook Live and video chats and phone calls and things like that. We can still spend time together. We can still check on each other. So check on your church family and make sure that they know that somebody's thinking about them and loves them and is praying for them, okay? And I want to encourage you to use your time wisely. I don't think that this has happened by accident. I think God has given us an opportunity here. We want to make the most of that opportunity. So draw close to the Lord through prayer and through his word. All right. It's going to be different every week. I'm looking at my phone trying to go through this and I get a text from somebody. So y'all just bear with me. I'm going to make mistakes during this just like I would if y'all were sitting here. So love y'all. Y'all just put up with me. All right. The last thing I want to mention, and I hate to, I don't enjoy mentioning this at all, but it's necessary. I want to encourage our church family, our members, to continue to give as you are able. Now, I completely understand that because of this situation that we're in, some of us financially are struggling and going through hard times because of this, but give as you're able. And if you will continue to give, the church is able to continue to minister and serve in the community. So we thank you so much for all that you do, and just continue. We want the church to continue being the church. I see Gina logged in. Yes, Gina, I'm online. So she's the one that texted me a minute ago, so I'm calling her out in front of all y'all. love you, Gina. Okay, so I want us to have a word of prayer right now, and then we're going to worship. And when we worship, even if you're sitting at home and it feels different, it feels weird, I want you to forget about all the distractions. I want you to forget about everything else and remember that no matter where we're at, we worship an audience of one. We're worshiping the Lord, and he's the one that counts. He's the one that matters. Maya, I see you. Good morning. Glad you're watching with us. See so many other people logging in. Good to see y'all this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's so good to be here this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you have provided means for us to still be together during this time, Lord. I pray that everything that's done this morning, every prayer that's prayed, every song that's sung, every sermon that's preached, Lord, would just glorify and honor you, and that we would point other people to you. We want to decrease and we want you to increase, Father. So God, be glorified in this, Lord. Have your way in us today. I pray that you would strengthen those that are feeling weak. I pray that you would encourage those who are struggling. And I pray that you would save somebody this morning that is lost and doesn't know you as Lord and Savior. So I pray that your will be done here today, Lord. I also want to pray for our leaders, all the way from local, all the way up to our national leaders of government and all around this world, Lord. Every nation's having to deal with this. We just pray for the leaders to realize that their power is so limited, but your power is unlimited, God. So I pray that every leader of every nation would lift their eyes to you, because you are where our help comes from, Lord. So I pray that you will give them wisdom and discernment as they go forward leading their people. I pray, God, for our healthcare workers. Lord, I'm so thankful for all the doctors and nurses and everybody in the medical field that are going out every day and risking exposure to this virus. Lord, I just pray for protection. I pray for healing for the sick. And I pray, God, you give them the strength to do what they need to do every day. I pray that you would give them the supplies that they need, Lord, that you would provide all the supplies that are desperately needed right now, Lord. We pray this in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, for a vaccine to be created and distributed so that people can be protected from this, Lord. And Lord, so many people have already lost their lives because of this thing, God. And we just pray that you would comfort the families of those that have been lost. And we pray that you would protect and keep everybody else from succumbing to this virus. So just I pray that you would strengthen and heal and bless. And I pray ultimately that this moment in time, this moment in history that we're living right now, would be a turning point. And this would be the start of a revival. And I pray that it would start in me. Lord, I love you. I praise you. And I'm just so thankful to be a child of God. If you agree with that prayer, wherever you are, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So now it is my joy and privilege to turn things over to Brother Robert to lead us in worship. Brother Robert.
All right. Don't we have a great pastor? I know you're saying amen and amen and amen. Amen, we do. It's good to be here with you today. We're going to start out with a little chorus that everybody probably knows. It's in your Bible. It is Psalms 118:24. This is the day. And folks, this really is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And we can do that, can't we? Because of Jesus and Him alone.
That's right.
No other reason can we, but because of Him. So let's sing that song. Excuse me, I'm going to have to clear my throat a lot today, getting over this cold stuff.
This is a day, this is a day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is a day that the Lord has made.
This week, I had text pastor and said, hey, I talked to you this week, and I felt like maybe to do some music, and so I come and talked to him, and he said, man, I want to do that. He said, I wanted to, but I didn't want to call you and say, hey, come on up. Yeah. So we want to praise the Lord. This song that we're going to do next is an old song, Where Could I Go? Folks, today, where we are right now in our lives, and should be all of our lives. You know, Kristen put a comment on Facebook this week about all of us and revival starting with us. And you know, I hope and pray like Kristen that through this time that I will be so revived, and I hope you will be so revived, and our hope is in Him. And where can I go but to the Lord? Okay, if you know this, sing along with me.
Living,
that we're going to do today is called 10,000 Reasons. Bless the Lord. Folks, we've got 10,000, 10 million, 10 billion. We've got all the reasons to thank our Lord this day. And this is a praise song. And so if you know it, sing it with us. And if you don't, just praise the Lord with your spirit, okay? Amen. I can't handle what's going on. Lord, as a matter of fact, I never have. And Lord, you've always carried me, and you've always carried every one of us. And Lord, I just pray now that we'll let you have us, that we'll give ourselves to you, to trust you, to worship you, to praise you, to thank you, to rejoice in you, Lord, and that we might be revived, Lord, that we might be set on fire for you during this time that you've put together here. May we trust you. Now bless Brother Grant. Thank you for him. Use him in a mighty way as he comes to give us your word. Forgive us of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Robert. All right. Praise the Lord. That was awesome. So glad that we can still worship together. Just an incredible time of worship. And I was sitting and talking with Brother Robert a little while before we started this Facebook Live broadcast. And he was just telling me what the Lord's been speaking to him. And it's like he was preaching the sermon. So I know that God has a word for us, because the same thing that's on his heart has been on my heart all week. And I know that God has a word for us in from Genesis 32. So if you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to go ahead and open up with me and turn to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis 32. We're continuing in our sermon series that we've been in for the entire 2020 so far in the book of Genesis, In the Beginning. We've been looking at the life of Jacob the last couple of weeks, and we're going to continue that this morning. So I'm calling the sermon this morning from Genesis 32, Forever Changed by God. Amen. If you've been forever changed by God, I want you to say amen this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Robert's saying amen. I'm saying amen. Right where you are, if you've been forever changed by God, say amen. So last week, we looked at a dream that Jacob had. It was from Genesis 28. And in this dream, he sees a ladder coming down from heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending between heaven and earth. And we talked about how up until that time, Jacob had only experienced God as the God of his father. He hadn't experienced God personally. Well, through this dream, God reveals himself to Jacob. This is the first step of Jacob's relationship to God. With God. And as we look at chapter 32 today, we're going to see that that relationship grows and it strengthens. Okay, so we're jumping from 28 to 32. So I want to quickly, briefly fill in the dots, describe what happens in the chapters between 28 and 32. And this is going to be worth taking the time to go through this, because it will help us better understand chapter 32 if we know what came before. Okay, so Jacob travels to the homeland of his mother Rebekah to find a wife, and here in his mother's homeland, Jacob the deceiver gets deceived. Jacob finds himself the victim of deception instead of the perpetrator of deception. He meets Rachel. She's the daughter of his uncle Laban, and it's love at first sight. He agrees to work for Laban for 7 years in order to be able to marry Rachel. And verse 20 of chapter 29 says, those 7 years were like only a few days because of his love for her. So here's where the deception comes in. We don't get all the details of how Laban did this, and I don't think the details honestly are that important. What Laban does is somehow he gets his older daughter, Leah, to go to Jacob, and they spend the night together as husband and wife. And it's not until the next morning that Jacob realizes that it's Leah he's married and not Rachel. And so Jacob is enraged by this. And he says, what have you done to me, to Laban? Well, Laban explains this deception away by saying that it's customary for the older daughter to be given in marriage before the younger daughter. And he says, you know, I can fix this. This is simple. You just spend the 7 days, the customary 7 days of celebration for this marriage to Leah. And then a week from now, you can marry Rachel and you'll have two wives. And so Jacob does this. He receives Rachel as his wife a week later. But now he owes Laban an additional 7 years of work. So as you can probably imagine, there was a lot of family drama in this particular family, and things did not go smoothly between Leah and Rachel. You see, Leah is able to have children and Rachel is not. And so after watching Leah give Jacob 4 sons, Rachel is desperate to have a family of her own. And so what does she do? Like we so often do, she tries to fix the situation herself. She gives her maidservant Bilhah to Jacob so that she can have a family through her. Well, later on, Leah is unable to continue having kids, and so she does the same thing. She takes her maidservant, Zilpah. They had some crazy names back then, Bilhah and Zilpah. And she gives her to Jacob. And so Jacob ends up with four wives, 12 kids, and a whole lot of drama. Amen. So at this time, Jacob wants to leave and return to his homeland with his family, but Laban convinces him to stay. And so by the time Jacob finally leaves, 20 years have passed since he arrived. And during those 20 years, God has blessed Jacob with a large family and with great wealth. So Jacob makes his way with his family and his wealth back to his homeland. And even though it's been 20 years, he finds himself confronted with a problem from his past. And he knows when he returns, he's going to have to face his brother Esau. We talked last week about what he did to Esau, had deceived him to get his birthright and his blessing. And so the last time he saw Esau, Esau was planning to kill him. So understandably, he's very scared to return and see his brother again. So in the first verse of chapter 32, we see that Jacob meets with the angels of God where he stopped to set up a camp. And this is significant because this should have encouraged him that he was going to be okay and that he had divine protection from God on his side. But as we continue, we see Jacob trying to fix the problems instead of trusting God to take care of him. And if you can relate to that and you can admit that you've done things before in your life trying to fix problems instead of trusting God, say amen. That's right. Amen. We can all relate to that if we're honest with ourselves. So Jacob sends messengers ahead to find Esau and tell him that Jacob is coming and hopes to find favor with him when they meet. So in other words, it's like Jacob is saying, I've been gone for a while and I really hope you got over that whole wanting to kill me thing. I hope that that's done with and we can just be brothers now. So the messengers return and they say that Esau's coming. And not only is Esau coming, he's got 400 men with him. Well, that is not at all what Jacob wanted to hear. He is scared, more scared than ever. And he responds to this information in two ways. Well, first, like we've been talking about, he tries to fix the situation himself. But then secondly, he also turns to the Lord in prayer. So he offers Esau gifts of cattle, and he refers to Esau in his message as my Lord, and he refers to himself as Esau's servant. So he splits these gift offerings up into two herds, and he sends them forward hoping to appease Esau's wrath through his generosity. So now that we've connected the dots and we filled in all the gaps between 28 and 32, I'm going to read to you now from Genesis 32, starting in verse 22. During the night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two slave women, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream along with all his possessions. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. And when the man saw that he could not defeat him, he struck Jacob's hip socket as they wrestled and dislocated his hip. Then he said to Jacob, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." "What is your name?" the man asked. "Jacob," he replied. "Your name will no longer be Jacob," he said. "It will be Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he answered, "Why do you ask my name?" And he blessed him there. Jacob then named the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face," he said, "and yet my life has been spared." Verse 31, "The sun shone on him as he passed by Peniel, limping because of his hip." And that's where we're going to stop this morning. So what I want to do is just make a few observations about what we just read. And then I'm going to share three truths from this text this morning, okay? All right. So here we go with a few observations. In verse 22, it tells us that Jacob got up in the night and took his wives, children, and property across the stream. Have you ever woken up out of a sleep in the middle of the night with something just weighing on you and worrying you? Have you ever woken up in the middle of the night like that? Have you ever laid down to go to sleep and you couldn't find sleep because your mind wouldn't quit turning whatever it is over and over, right? We can all relate to that. I certainly have experienced both of those many times. Well, this seems to show us that what Jacob is experiencing here is very similar to that, and it shows us just how troubled he was about interacting with Esau again. He's going to see his brother again, and even though 20 years have passed, he's so worried about how this situation is going to play out that he's just woken up in the middle of the night. Well, verse 24 then says that a man wrestled with Jacob all night. A man wrestled with Jacob all night, but then in verse 30, Jacob says he has seen the face of God and lived. So even though Jacob didn't realize it at first, this was a supernatural encounter that would forever change his life. And as I studied the passage this week, I came across many theologians that believed this man that wrestled Jacob was actually Jesus Christ. Charles Spurgeon, one of my favorite preachers in history, he said this, said, "I suppose our Lord Jesus Christ did here, as on many other occasions, before his full incarnation, assume a human form and came to wrestle Jacob." Many people think that it was Jesus. Whether it's an angel of the Lord or whether it was Jesus Christ or whether it was God, whatever it was a supernatural encounter. Hosea chapter 12 gives us a little more information backing this up. Hosea 12 verse 3 says about Jacob, "In the womb he grasped his brother's heel, and as an adult he wrestled with God." So this was not just a man that wrestled with Jacob. This was a supernatural encounter. So we're going to talk more about this wrestling in just a few minutes, but I love this quote from A.W. Tozier. He says, "God cannot fully bless a man until he has first conquered him." I believe that's true. And if that doesn't quite make sense just yet, hold on to that quote, and hopefully it's going to become more clear as we continue, okay? So then verse 25 says something that's really pretty shocking. It says, the man who we just said was God, was supernatural, more than a man, saw that he couldn't beat him, couldn't beat Jacob. How could it be that a supernatural being couldn't defeat Jacob? How can that be? Well, a couple of things here. First, we don't take verses out of the Bible and isolate them, right? We take them in their context, right? And so the context of the Bible is that from cover to cover, it clearly teaches that God is all powerful. He has no equals and no rivals, right? So there has to be an explanation as to how Jacob could prevail with God with that in mind. And so secondly, I found another commentary that's been helpful to me in understanding this, so I want to share from that with you. This is from Lang's commentary, Genesis 32. He writes, "When it is said of Jacob that he prevailed with God, we must not forget that he prevailed because God permitted him to do so. As each believer experiences the grace of God, the believer first reaches that turning point in his or her life where the will of God becomes the will of the believer." And we're going to see going forward that this is exactly how Jacob prevailed in his wrestling with God. He conceded his will to God's will. And that's how all of us are going to find victory, is when we lay down our will and we take up God's will. All right? So with all that ground covered, we're ready to see three truths from Genesis. Are you ready? If you're ready, say, "I'm ready."
I'm ready.
Robert's ready. So here we go. First, Jacob's encounter with God changed his walk. Jacob's encounter with God changed his walk. In verse 25, it says he struck Jacob's hip socket as they wrestled and dislocated his hip. And then down in verse 25, it says, no, down in verse 31, after the whole encounter is over, it says Jacob was still limping because of his hip. So from this point forward, everybody that saw Jacob would be able to see a physical change in him. Now remember, Jacob was alone when he wrestled with God. All his family was already across the stream. So think about what it must have been like for them when he went across the stream and joined up with his family, and they saw him coming towards them limping, they would immediately notice a difference, and they would immediately want to know what had happened to him, right?
Amen.
Anybody that had known Jacob before that encounter with God would have immediately noticed the change in him. He didn't limp before, but now he does. So what happened? That's what they would want to know. What happened? Now, this encounter changed Jacob's physical walk, and everyone could see that. But his spiritual walk was affected as well. Now, it wasn't an overnight change. It wasn't an all-at-once change. But Jacob's spiritual walk was definitely affected that night that he encountered God. And we can see that spiritual change in Jacob if you look ahead to chapter 35. In chapter 35 and verse 1, God tells Jacob, go to Bethel, build me an altar there. So then listen to Jacob in verses 2 and 3. So Jacob said to his family and all who were with him, get rid of the foreign gods that are among you. Purify yourselves and change your clothes. We must get up and go to Bethel. I will build an altar there to the God who answered me in the day of my distress. He has been with me everywhere I have gone.
Amen.
Jacob sounds like a different guy than the one we've been reading about in the last several chapters of Genesis. Jacob's walk is truly different, both physically and spiritually, after his encounter with God. Now, you and I can't necessarily say that we have physically wrestled with God like Jacob could, and we haven't necessarily physically had our walk changed through an encounter with God, but every single one of us who has truly encountered Jesus as Lord and Savior has definitely had our spiritual walk changed.
Amen.
Amen. God takes us where he finds us, but he loves us too much to leave us there. Okay, there's going to be a difference when Jesus gets in our hearts and in our lives. So people that knew you before you met Jesus, they ought to be able to see a difference in you.
Amen.
They ought to be able to see a difference in me.
Amen.
Jesus doesn't make good people better. He makes dead people live. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come.
Amen.
So I'm speaking symbolically here, but I want to challenge you and I want to challenge myself this morning. Let's make sure that other people can see our limp. Amen.
Amen.
Let's make sure other people can see that we've been changed. We're new creations. All right, but listen, the process is anything but easy. There are going to be incredible mountaintop experiences full of joy and peace, but there's also going to be deep, painful valleys that we have to walk through. But God uses both of those to draw us closer to him.
Amen.
But we don't like those painful valleys, do we? No, of course we don't. But it is helpful to know that God uses those painful experiences, and they aren't for nothing. They're not wasted. God can and often does use those painful experiences for his glory. Now, Stephen Cole is a pastor that I quote fairly often. He said this about how God uses those painful valley experiences. He said, brokenness is the path to blessing. Brokenness is the path to blessing. Many times we're not able to receive spiritual blessings from God until we're broken. Our pride gets in the way and we go through life thinking that we're in control until something happens and we're broken, and it's at that point that we turn to God.
Amen.
For Jacob, it was a dislocated hip. What is it for you? What reminds you, what reminds me of our limitations and forces us to turn to God who has absolutely no limitations?
Amen.
Sometimes we try to make life more complicated than it needs to be. Sometimes we think situations in life, they've got to be complicated. They just couldn't be simple, right? But that little song that we used to sing when we were kids, it's just as true for us as adults as it was when we were kids. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Has anybody out there ever felt weak? I know I do.
Amen.
Sometimes I feel weak, but I'm praising God that He is always strong. Amen. That's the good news. We are weak, but He is strong. God is strong, and that's not just words from a children's song, right? That's in the Bible. Listen to a couple of verses. Isaiah 41:10, one of my favorite verses of scripture. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand. Aren't you thankful that God upholds us with His righteous right hand?
Amen.
Amen. I'm so thankful for that. Another verse about our weakness and God's strength. 2 Corinthians 12:9. But He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. So we don't have to be strong on our own. And it's a good thing, because even the strongest person is weak in some areas. And even the strongest person gets overwhelmed in life from time to time. But God's strength overcomes our weaknesses. I am weak, but He is strong.
Amen.
If you're a new creation, the rest of the world should be able to see it. When we let people see the change that Jesus has made in us, they are pointed to Jesus. He is the only source of real hope for this world. So don't be afraid to stand out for Jesus. Let people see your limp. Let them see the difference in you. And when they ask, why are you different? That's when you point them to Jesus.
Amen.
Okay, so Jacob's encounter with God changed his walk, but it also changed his name. Jacob's encounter with God changed his name. In verse 28, we read, your name will no longer be Jacob, he said. It will be Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. So his name changed from Jacob, which was synonymous with deceiver, to Israel, which means he who strives with God. See, back then in that culture and in that time, a person's name told a great deal about that person. Names were very significant. Not so much these days, right? If I meet somebody for the first time and I tell them, hi, my name's Grant. Well, they know what to call me, but they don't know anything about me because they know my name, right? But think of the significance that this name change had for Jacob. He had been known as a deceiver up until now, and rightfully so. He had earned that by being a deceiver. But his new name, Israel, some people translate it God's warrior. So he went from deceiver to God's warrior. That's a pretty incredible change.
Amen.
I've enjoyed over the years watching many of our friends back in Gardendale adopt kids and make them a part of their families. And it's really cool. Each year they get to celebrate a Gotcha Day. Gotcha Day is the day of the adoption. So those kids are adopted into a new family and they receive a new name. It's such a beautiful thing, and it's a picture of what God does for us when He adopts us into His family. So while Jacob actually received a name change to Israel, believers today receive an additional name. See, my name was Grant before I got saved. It's still Grant, but now I'm also known as a Christian.
Amen.
I love being called a Christian. Of all the things that I'm called, Christian is my very favorite one.
Amen.
You see, I'm a son, I'm a brother, I'm a husband, I'm a dad, I'm a friend, I'm a pastor, and I love every single one of those. But nothing can compare to being known as a Christian.
Amen.
A Christian is a follower of Christ. We identify with our Savior, and we get the privilege of bearing His name.
Amen.
So if you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you are a Christian. You see, just as important as who you are is whose you are. You are Christ. You've been redeemed. You've been bought with a price. You and I as Christians belong to Jesus, and we represent Jesus as we live each day. So church, let's live up to that name. Listen to this incredible description of who we are in Christ from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. As Christians, we get to declare the praises of the one who has called us out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. We're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, God's special possession. That's who we are in Christ. Now, too many of us, myself included, myself especially, are trying to straddle the fence to be in the light and in the darkness at the same time. But we've been called out of the darkness. So let's step out of the darkness and let's live up to this wonderful name that we've been given. Okay, so now the third and final truth from the text I want to share with you this morning is this. Jacob found victory by letting go of everything and by clinging to God alone.
Amen.
Jacob persevered by fully and completely submitting to God. He had to reach the end of himself, and when he did, he realized God was his only hope.
Amen.
Jacob's victory was in perseverance. He was desperately clinging to God, and an image comes to my mind when I think of Jacob wrestling and clinging on to God, and it comes from one of my favorite movies. Rocky is one of my favorite characters from any movie, and my favorite Rocky movie is Rocky IV when he fights the big Russian guy, Ivan Drago. And Drago was absolutely huge. And you got to remember, this is a movie, because in reality, they would have never let this guy this tall fight this guy this small. It just would never have happened. But it was a movie, and a great movie at that. So anyway, they finally fight, and Drago is just hitting Rocky with all these shots. And Rocky is just completely exhausted. And any normal person would have been knocked out 500 times by just one of these shots. But Rocky's still standing up in his corners, wanting to throw in the towel, and they're saying, give up, you've done enough. And he tells them no, and he will not quit. He will not stop. His face is all messed up. He's exhausted, but he refuses to quit. That's what I think of when I imagine Jacob just hanging on and refusing to let go in this wrestling match with God. See, it took Jacob a long time to humble himself and line his will up with God's will. But when he did, he realized that his only hope against Esau or any earthly enemy or anything that he was ever going to face in life was to hold on desperately to God and refuse to let go. Jacob previously tried to bring his will about through his own strength. But here, alone in this struggle with God, he stops fighting and he just hangs on for dear life. He's got no more tricks to play. He realizes he can't deceive his way out of this situation. He realizes he cannot accomplish this on his own. So he cries out to God and begs for a blessing. And many times blessings are seen primarily as material things like money, property, and things like that. Well, listen, Jacob already had that. He already had material wealth. He already had the status that came with that. He had the large family. He had relationships. So he was desperate for something else when he asked God to bless him. See, God never promised to bless everyone with material wealth. For a lot of people, material wealth is a curse and not a blessing, because it pulls them away from God. But he does promise to bless us with something far greater than material things. God promises to bless us with more of him, a closer walk with him. That's what we really need.
Amen.
We can't find what we need anywhere else than through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, Jacob's life was never the same after this encounter with God. And all throughout this sermon, I've been using phrases like, if you're a Christian, if you've trusted Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. And I say that because not everyone is a Christian. It's a choice that each person has to make for themselves. Jesus shed his holy, sinless blood on the cross to pay the debt of my sin and your sin.
Amen.
Now you might be thinking, I'm not that bad. I'm a pretty good person. Why do I need Jesus to save me? Well, let me share with you what the Bible says. Now, this is not Grant's opinion. This is not anybody else's opinion. This is the Word of God. See, God is holy. That means he's completely without sin. Because he is holy, anything sinful is separated from him because he is completely without sin. And no matter how much we want to try to compare ourselves to other people and say, hey, compared to him, I'm okay. Compared to her, I'm doing fine. That's not the standard we're compared to. God is the standard.
Amen.
Romans 3:23 tells us all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Listen, all means all. We're on a level playing field. I'm not better than you. You're not better than me. We all need a Savior. Well, why do we need a Savior? Romans 6:23 tells us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, a wage is something you earn. Our sin earns us death. That's the result of our sin. Eternal separation from God. But God has given us the gift of eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. And Romans 5:8 tells us, but God proved his own love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't have to clean ourselves up first, Robert. We didn't have to do anything to earn that. He did it for us.
Yes.
Because Christ did this for us, salvation is available to you. It's available to me. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, you would think it would be more complicated than that, but God has made salvation beautifully simple. Confess and believe, and you're saved. Now, when we confess, there is also repentance there. Listen, Jesus' message from the very beginning was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's Matthew 4:17. I said it before, I'll say it again. God takes us where he finds us, but he loves us too much to leave us there.
Amen.
If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can do that right here, right now, wherever you're at. If you want to do that, I want to ask you to bow your head, close your eyes, and say a prayer something like this. You don't have to repeat these words. This isn't a magic formula. Just talk to the Lord. Say something like this. God, I know I've sinned and failed you. Forgive me of my sin. Draw me close to you. I believe Jesus died to pay the price for my sins, and I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. My Savior takes away my sins, and my Lord carries me every day. Show me how to live for you each day. I love you, Lord. Amen. Now, you don't have to say those exact words. You can say whatever's in your heart. When we pray, we're just talking to God. So if you just talked with God and you prayed to become a Christian, I want to be able to celebrate that with you. So I want to ask you to please contact me, whether it's through Facebook, whether it's through calling the church, or visiting the church website. There's ways to get in contact with us when you visit the church website there. Just let me know this decision that you've made, and give me a way to get in touch with you so I can celebrate with you and so I can help you figure out the next steps as a new believer in Jesus Christ, right? But maybe you're listening this morning and you're already saved. You know you're a believer in Christ, but you feel that the Holy Spirit's telling you that maybe you've been hiding your limp and the world can't see just how much Jesus has affected your walk. Maybe the Holy Spirit's calling you to be bold in your witness as a believer in Christ, and you want to go forward today living passionately and intentionally for God.
Amen.
That's my personal prayer for myself this morning, and if that's your prayer as well, will you join me now as we go to the Lord? God, help your people to live boldly for you each and every day, God. Help us to choose each day to take up our cross and follow you. God, we're not going to be perfect. We can't be perfect. But God, we're going to strive for perfection. We're going to strive to live in a way where we're putting sin to death and we're pointing others to Jesus. I pray, Lord, that I will increase. No, I just said that wrong. I pray that I will decrease and you will increase, Father God.
Amen.
I pray, Lord, that you will grow us in our relationship with you, Father. Do what only you can do, Holy Spirit. We love you and we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So listen, church, God will bless us when we realize that he's all we have and he's all that we'll ever need. So if you've been forever changed by God, somebody give God some praise this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. So I hope that all of you have a blessed rest of your day. I want to thank you for watching this morning. I want to thank Robert for coming and leading us in worship. And I can't wait for the day when we're able to gather together again in person. But until then, I'm so thankful to God that he's provided ways for us to stay in touch, like Facebook Live. So stay in the Word, pray continuously, point others to Jesus. Be with us again on Wednesday night for Bible study. And please contact the church if there's any way that we can serve you during this time. I love you, church. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.